SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Taking over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast. All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. And we usually talk fighting at the top of the second hour. And we do it again on a Tuesday with Brian Ciano, a.k.a. Mafia, as we get ready for the big card in Pharrell Adabi, Fight Island this Saturday. Everybody's excited about it, and they're talking about it. It's, of course, Khabib against Justin Gaethje. So here we go. And Gaethje has called out Khabib, saying that he can't handle the damage that he's going to inflict. And yeah, I have a hard time listening to this. Now, I respect Gaethje. I think he's a really good fighter. There's no denying he's violent. There's no denying he knocks guys out. But this is a different animal he's dealing with here. I'll be shocked. You know, I guess I'll keel over if the guy does any kind of damage to this guy. I think it's going to be the other way around.
Yeah, and listen, if you, there's a good article that ESPN put out where they talked like the last seven guys that Khabib has fought, and they're all like, yeah, I thought I knew what I was going to do. And then all of a sudden the guy just bull rushes you, puts you against the cage, and, you know, all plans go out the window, because it's not about necessarily that he's just like a great wrestler, but he's so aggressive and comes straight at you. So all that damage that you think you're going to inflict goes out the window because you don't have the distance to throw the strikes that you want. You can't hit him with those power shots that you do with everybody else. And all these other guys that are wrestlers where you can kind of time the shots that they take to try to get the takedown and maybe catch him with an uppercut or a knee. They said, you know, he's so good at moving his head off the center of, you know, the body or moving it to a different direction so that you can't time that shot and try to catch him and him trying to take you down. And he just press you up against the cage and then he gets you down. And then once he gets you on the ground, you know, it's just ridiculous how much heavier this guy feels. You can talk to Cormier, who's a heavyweight, who was training with him when he was heavyweight, you know, of course, light heavyweight as well. But he was training with this guy when he was the heavyweight champion of the world and saying, like, I'd have to go a lot harder with him than I did with other smaller guys because he just wants it so much more. And if he gets on the top, he feels so much heavier than a 155-pounder. So Gaethje's got a lot of power in his fists. He's got a great wrestling background. People are talking about that, trying to, you know, sway you maybe to think that he can win this fight. But it doesn't matter how good you are. This guy is just so persistent and so focused on what he's going to do and just is better than you at it that you can say all you want and you're going to inflict the damage. But there's plenty of guys who have hit him in the face and hasn't stopped him yet. He's got a good enough chin.
A lot of people think that John Jones is the best UFC fighter ever. Flavor of the month, or do you think Khabib is actually the best that we've ever seen? Because I don't know how many more I could name off that are better than those two.
Listen, if you're going to talk about all-around best, then, yeah, you'd have to put a guy like John Jones or, you know, George St. Pierre or Anderson Silva. Guys like that, I think, were better all-around than Khabib. Khabib is incredible at what he does. The thing is that, you know, if he ever got that stopped, if it ever got to the feet, he's shown a little bit of a pop, you know, when he hit Conor and put him on his back, even without taking him down, that he caught him, not expecting him to hit him with a good shot. But he has some decent striking, but those guys were better all around with the striking. But he's just so incredible at the grappling and the sambo part of the game where he's just going to lean into you, use that weight, take you down, and then make you pay from up top. And, you know, whether it's raining down shots on you till you can't breathe anymore and you can't protect yourself and he just chokes you, or just going for the submission itself, he's so adept at what he does. That specific part that he does of that game, the sambo, the Russian style of fighting, he is incredible at. But I'm not going to say he's the best ever because all around these guys had other skills that I don't think he has.
Yeah, you know, I want to see how he does coming off his father's passing and everything that he's been through mentally to see where his head's at going into this fight to see if it affects him at all. We welcome in our radio affiliates. Don't forget Sports Grid Radio, Overnights, Pharrell and a Bench, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats. Get the Sports Grid Radio app. Go to sportsgridradio.com for everything concerning the network. And you can get us on YouTube. Just search Sports Grid Radio. You can watch us do the shows. I'll see you tonight at 10 p.m. East on Pharrell and a Bench. We're also on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. All right, so Habib has said that when he's done beating Gaethje, that he wants George St. Pierre. We've had this conversation before, and it just won't go away. It seems inevitable that it's going to happen to me.
I mean, they keep pushing for it, and now that, you know, the changes from George's camp every time now, his coach is saying there's like a 50% chance he'll come back. And he said that, you know, if there was only, if he ever did come back, it would just be for one fight against a guy like Khabib. Like, that's the only one he thinks is worth his time, apparently. But it's a situation where it's a, if, yeah, sure, it'd be great to have it for that one night. But if the UFC does that and then he somehow gets down to 155 and fights him for the belt and wins it and then retires again, it screws things up. But then again, if Khabib wins that fight and retires with the belt anyway, well, then you still got to find a new champ either way. So I guess if that's the situation they're facing, they know Khabib's going out either way, whether he wins or loses. You know, if he gets that 30-0 like his dad talked about, then he'll just retire. Then maybe you put that together. But if you think that he might hang around for a bit, the last thing you want to do is hit your guy up to lose and then not have the belt. And then George St. Pierre leaves you hanging high and dry again.
Yeah, I just think that they get over the guys that retire and that the interim belts, they do it all the time. I don't think it's that big of a deal, in my opinion. You know, he has said, Habib, that he would only fight McGregor again if McGregor and Poirier fight at 155. That's not happening.
Yeah, he's saying if they're fighting at 170, then how am I going to give you a title shot at 155 next? If you guys are fighting at 155 as, you know, top contenders, then maybe it would make sense for me to give you another shot if McGregor wins. But still, he's saying that thing about George St. Pierre, that those guys just, they don't excite him. You know, he said on the ESPN interview, for him, you know, he wants that challenge. He wants those guys that he hasn't fought yet. He's fought both those guys. He's got the notch on his record from them. Why would he do it again?
So Errol Spence says he wants to fight Pacquiao. I have to tell you, in 2021, that I think Errol Spence would destroy Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, he even said in his quote, like, oh, he's on his way out, which I'm sure he's saying, I want to fight him before he's done, but it sounds like he's saying, hey, this would be easy picking, so I want it.
He's going to beat Danny Garcia, and then if he fights Manny, he'll destroy his ass, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell, back on Coast to Coast. We always enjoy having our buddy George Kurtz in. Blue Line Kurtz, styling from SportsGrid, back on Coast to Coast. Hey, George, how you doing, buddy?
How am I doing? Well, Scott, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan, Scott. So certainly not well there. All right. And that's not all, by the way. Had my dog spayed today. And they say dogs don't hold grudges, Scott. That's bull. This dog is angry at me. Won't even look my way here, by the way. And then my youngest daughter's teacher just texts me, oh, there's nothing wrong, but we want to talk to you. Well, that's a lie. Obviously, there's something wrong. So I got to deal with that after the show. And I have to go to the train station also to pick up my niece who has no way home. So, yay me.
Listen to George with a litany of issues to deal with. I'm concerned about the dog is in a position of just uncomfortability. The guy is screwed. All right, so that is just a horrible news. That hurts my onions as we speak. Let me ask you, you watched that game last night. Now, listen, I'm not here to make fun of your team. I bet on Arizona. Mafia and Carver High is my witness on Sports Grid here. I took Arizona because I think, you know, Kyler Murray and Hopkins are flat out better. I'm not a buyer of Andy Dalton at all. Everybody keeps talking about how he's got this great gig. Everyone would want that gig because he's got all this talent around him. I never thought he did well with talent in Cincinnati like AJ Green. What do you think of your quarterback now after that performance?
Well, I mean, he's an average quarterback. It's really what he is. He's an average quarterback. He's not a superstar. He's not going to do well behind that offensive line. We saw that last night. That offensive line was letting guys in free. Hey, you want to hit him? Go ahead. Turnstile. Go hit the guy. I mean, there were free blitzers coming all over the place. The Cowboys have many issues. In the offensive line, I mean, the secondary is a joke. They don't cover anybody. And then at the end of the game, we saw this again. We saw it in the Cleveland game as well. What? Oh, you want a late touchdown? Ah, go ahead. We're not going to tackle you. Go. You know, Kenyon Drake runs off a 60 yards. You saw that Odell Beckham, same thing. They just let the guy go. Not a lot of heart on this team. And, you know, talking to Gabe last night, I'll say this again. I don't think there's accountability on this team. I think the fact that it's sort of like they're playing mother against father. You know, Jerry Jones is the dad. He's the guy. And if Mike McCarthy or Jason Garrett, when he was there, if he yelled at the player, They just went to Jerry. Oh, Jerry, Mike yelled at me. Oh, Jerry's, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. There's no accountability with this team. Does anybody get in trouble for the mistakes they make? I mean, Jerry is a very much a player's general manager, a player's owner. It's just like everybody gets away with everything there. There's no accountability. It's obviously a bad coaching hire, and now we're hearing the players today. Not that this is really – and the players today are saying that Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff don't know what they're doing. They're not teaching us. Well, you guys also suck. I mean, how about doing something? Play better. It's not your fault. I mean, isn't it true? I hate when that happens. All of a sudden, you guys get wrecked again. You're giving up 37, 38 points a game, which would be the most points ever since the 1981 Colts, and it's the coach's fault? I mean, I have no doubt the coaches are a problem here, Scott, but the players are at issue as well here. It's a disaster right now in Dallas.
Zeke fumbles twice. He's fumbled more times this year than he has his whole career. I can't even believe what I'm watching. Now, you're obviously here in New York. What do you think of, you know, because the whole division's awful, but what do you think of these two disastrous teams here? Like, it's just the gift that keeps on giving if you're in the media in this town watching the Jets and Giants. I actually think the Giants in their last two games, certainly the Dallas game, I thought they played a lot better than they have. And then I, you know, thought they beat Washington. I think they should have won by 7. They gave up that late score. What do you think of the situation with the football here in New York?
Well, the Jets are a disaster. What else are you going to say here? Right? I mean, are they going to win a game? I mean, you look at their schedule here. I don't see many games where you go, well, they even got a chance to win. Right, I'm sure they'll beat somebody. They'll screw somebody's survivor pool up by beating, Miami or Buffalo somewhere along the line, something like that. But this is a bad team. I mean, it's a really, really bad team. And everybody, and I mean everybody, the players know it. The Jets have to know it. Fans know it. Media knows it. Gase is going to get fired. Williams is going to get – the whole staff is going to get fired. So there's not – once again, there's no accountability there either. Why hasn't Gase been fired already? He's a joke. Right now, you had Greg Williams undermining him last week. Well, you know, it's not all my defense's fault. The offense can't do anything. While true, you probably don't say that to the media. You don't let that get out there. So it's a nightmare in the Jets. Listen, it's going to be very tough because they have to decide what to do. They're going to take Lawrence, right? The lose for Lawrence, tank for Trevor, whatever you want to call it. They're going to take him next year. But what do you do with Darnold? Do you hang on to him? Do you try and trade him for not much in return? People think they're going to get a high pick. You're not, because teams are going to know you have to trade the man, and they have to pay him. He's going to get like $25 million. It's what average of block quarterbacks make. So to pay that money for the guy and give you picks, it's not going to happen here. I think they'll get a third round at best, and that might have to be incentive laden here. The Giants, you're sort of in the same boat here. You're not as terrible as the Jets. I don't think you're rudderless. I think, once again, Gettleman has to go. You need a new GM. Judge, I think it's unfair to say he's good or bad yet. You got to give him some time. But they need to decide about Daniel Jones. Is he the man? Because you might be in position next year with a top 5 pick. You won't get Lawrence, but Fields could be there. You know, or another top quarterback could be there. Is Jones the man? We keep saying him, Scott. I know it's unfair. You and I are old enough where, you know, quarterbacks used to get 2, 3, 4 years behind the starter to really learn the game. You don't get that nowadays. But he keeps turning the ball over in terrible spots. That interception against Washington where he said, I meant to throw it out of the end zone. Well, then throw it out of the end zone. I mean, it's just, why is this happening? I never get that. So just fire it out of the end zone. Literally, just fire it. They're not going to call anything on you. There'll be a receiver in the area. Throw it the third row. It won't matter. And they have it picked off. And you keep doing this each and every week. So the Giants have a tough decision. Are you going to give up on Daniel Jones after 2 years? It's really rough for the Giants.
What do you think of the Dolphins' decision at this point when they were a half game out of first and Fitzpatrick was doing a good job? Are you surprised that they did it now?
A little bit, yeah. But I think we have to remember the Dolphins' schedule got all, you know, changed and mixed and matched because of all the COVID stuff. And now is the bye week. So if you want to do it, it does make sense to go to Tua. I mean, this is not a knock on Fitzpatrick. You mentioned they're 3-3. They're a half game out. I mean, they're in the playoff race here. But I think this is also a team that has that come-to-Jesus moment with themselves. Even if we make the playoffs, we're not going anywhere. You're not going to win the Super Bowl. You're not going to beat the Pittsburghs of the world, Baltimore's, Kansas City. You're not going to beat those teams. I'm a big believer. When you have a top quarterback, Scott, I think you want to get the rookie bugs out of the way in that first year. He's going to get 10 games now, assuming he stays healthy. He'll get 10 games to get those bugs out. We'll see what he can do. Their schedule also, by the way, gets much tougher. So they may be thinking – all right, we're not going to beat, you know, they play Kansas City yet. I think they play Pittsburgh as well. We're not going to beat those teams with Fitzpatrick. With Tua, you never know. If he can run like Lamar Jackson, run like we saw Murray did last night, the Cowboys had no answer for it. You know, maybe he can keep us in those games. But I think more importantly, it's for their future. You know, they don't want next year to be that rookie year. Okay, now we got to give up 2021 as well here. I like the move, but I admit, if I was the coach of Miami, I don't know if I'd have made the move. I want to make the playoffs. You know, it looks good on your resume and all Flores. I think he's done a great job there. Unless I was told by the GM or the owner, my boss, to say, hey, that's it. Bye week. Tua is in there. And maybe this is the plan the entire season, by the way, that Fitzpatrick was going to go until Tua was healthy, proved himself ready in practice, and he was going to get his shot. But I think me personally, assuming none of the outside pushes, forces were forcing me, I'd have stuck with Fitzpatrick.
So, George, Kurt's with us. Who do you like in this World Series, and who do you like tonight with Kershaw and Glasnow?
You know, I think if this was even, and what I mean by that, if both teams had the same amount of rest and the Dodgers could start their starters the way they want, Buehler, Kershaw, you know, if you're going to go back to Dustin May, Gonsolin, whatever it might be, the Dodgers have the better roster. I mean, is anybody going to argue that? I mean, they have the better roster, but Tampa Bay is set up. They're just set up. What worries me is that Tampa can't hit. Outside of a Rosarena, I mean, walk the guy. Don't pitch to him. You know, anybody's on base, pitch around him. Don't let him beat you. Force somebody else. Force Meadows to beat you. Yandy Diaz, Kiermaier, anybody else to beat you other than a Rosarena. Houston didn't learn that lesson. Yankees didn't really learn that lesson. So I think it's going six games, minimum seven. I'm going to take Tampa because the price is so good. But I think it's going to be a really long series. Give me the Rays. I just think the pitching is set up so well for them.
And so Rays to win it all, and then you're taking Glasnow over Kershaw tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to take the strikeout prop as well tonight. Kershaw, listen, I think it's a good matchup for him. I know he doesn't pitch well in the playoffs, although last time wasn't all his fault. Gratterall gave up inherited runs, but I like Glasnow tonight over Kershaw in like a 3-2 game.
Maybe Kershaw, I said this to Craig Mish, goes home and does well for once in a World Series game. He has won a World Series game before. People forget. He's 1-2. But he's, you know, from Dallas. Let's see what he does in Arlington. And I said to Craig, they got an edge in that they've been playing in that building for the last couple of weeks, whatever. I think they're used to the angles and everything else. George, great stuff. Always a pleasure having you on Coast to Coast. Good luck with all your problems and your dog.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kim, how do they pull that off? Like, that's like trying to, you know, it's like the XFL or something, I guess, trying to take on the NFL. I don't know. How would they ever do that with soccer against the premiership? I just don't, you know, it just seems impossible to me.
Well, that's the thing, right? So UEFA comes out and goes, oh, this is not going to happen. And let's call it out for what it is, Scott. There's a lot of money and a lot of people in these countries that want to make it happen. But, you know, things can get a little bit dangerous. Let's put it that way. When you're talking about that kind of money, I think there's going to be some roadblocks in the way, even though entrepreneurs want this Super League. You know, I think UEFA and their goons would have something to say about that, too. It's also, there's a lot, like, take a look at the Europa League, man. Like, tomorrow, there's like 16 games. Like, nobody knows these teams. It's just, like, enough is enough. Like, the Champions League is good enough for me. And then we have, you know, the EPL, La Liga, all the other leagues. Yeah, I don't think we need another league. I'm with you.
I mean, you got the UEFA Nations Cup going on.
Yeah.
There's all these, like you mentioned, all these different, you know, Champions League, the Europa League. And now, you know, you got Premier League. And then now you want to add another World League to the mix. Like, isn't there enough already? Like, it's so chaotic now the way it is with as many different, you know, the friendlies. There's so many friendlies. I wish they'd have unfriendlies, honestly.
I agree. Like, I think friendlies, you know, suck. Yeah, you ever have a hockey game? Hey, let's have a friendly. No, it's not friendly. It's us versus you. Yeah, friendlies. Anyway, isn't that like a dessert shop? Friendlies, a restaurant? Yeah, that gives service on Sunday.
Listen, yeah. Now listen. Don't, hey, they have great ice cream there. Oh, careful. Yeah. That place.
No,
rocks,
no, hold on, hold on.
That place, if you get baked and go in there and have a burger and a shake, I mean to tell you, it's better than sex. Friendly's rocks. They got one in my town where I live now, and it's always like empty. And when I go in there, I'll pick up stuff like the ice cream. I'll go buy the ice cream. on the side, and no one's ever in there. I'm worried about it. I'm like, you guys need to stay open no matter what. There's never anybody in there, but man, they got good food. Don't mess with Friendly's.
Oh, no, man. No. Come on. I would never rock Friendly's. No, I got a sweet tooth, and I basically, every time I go into Kentucky Fried Chicken, the manager says, thank you, Cameron, for keeping us in business. People are eating kale. I'm eating chicken, baby. Let's rock.
Hey, listen. I love it. Once a week, I eat fried chicken. I mean business. There's nothing better than great, crispy fried chicken. The skin alone is worth the price of admission. I eat more chicken
skin
than
sandwich.
Anyone. And in fact, I hope I get zits off of eating greasy fried chicken. I hope I wake up with zits all over my face and back. All right, Cam, great stuff. Game time decisions coming up top of the hour. Fantastic. Love you, Cam. Be cool, bro. Enjoy the game tonight.
You too.
All right, Carver High, let's talk about the games last night. I know you don't want to talk about the Bills, but I just thought, you know, I'm with you on Josh Allen. At least he admitted he sucked.
No, he absolutely did. The Bills got run over at home, literally, by the Kansas City Chiefs last night, Scotty. The most rushing attempts ever by an Andy Reid coach team in the game. They just kept running the ball. It got ugly for the Bills fast. Here is Josh Allen taking blame, Scotty, for the Bills' loss.
It was more execution and make no mistakes. We played a really good team. You know, the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. But you know, we did definitely had our opportunities, and we got to be better with it. You know, and again, that's on me. You know, I take that very personally. So again, this is going to be a good week to kind of sit back and learn some things from the tape. It is, you know, cruddy. The tape's going to look. You know, learning from this is, you know, going to help and help us move forward.
Listen, I told you going into this, I bet on them against the Titans, and they got whacked in Smashville. I was surprised at that game. I was not surprised at this game. The only thing that surprised me at all was the fact of how they ran the ball against that great Bills defense, which I question now whether or not they're as great as I think they are, because the last two games, they've played no defense whatsoever, and they just do not look right at this time. I've seen them play great. I thought, like, White and Poyer taking those cheap shot hits late was also very stupid. White's too good of a player to do something that stupid that late on the sideline. I couldn't believe I saw him commit that flag.
Yeah, they're missing some pieces from last year. You know, they let Shaq Lawson go to Miami. They let Jordan Phillips go to Arizona. Star Latulele, their defensive tackle, opted out. They're missing some pieces from last year. Milano hasn't played a lot, but just an awful effort by them all around. Here's Bills coach Sean McDermott on dropping two games that were very big spots, a couple of primetime games. The Bills did not get it done. Here's McDermott.
Well, we want to be, This is where we want to be in terms of in these type of games against good teams. Call them big games if you want. I think just the competition out there is elite. You know, this is high standard, high quality football, good players, good systems. That's where we want to be, and we've come up short in these two games, and so we go back to the drawing board and continue to work hard to continue to get to know our team and examine where we're not where we need to be. We're not executing the way we need to execute. We're not fundamentally where we need to be fundamentally. And that's what we have to do, is to continue to develop our football team so we're playing well.
Well, you know, I heard George earlier, I think, jokingly say they might beat Buffalo. The Jets aren't beating Buffalo, and I still think Buffalo will win the division, because I think the Patriots look very average to me. And I thought, I understand he had, like, you know, COVID issues, false positives, whatever you want to call it. But I just thought Cam Newton looked as bad in that game against Denver as he looked the last 2 years in Carolina, where everybody said he was shot. And I thought that was because of injury, because of his shoulder and his foot, that he was shot in Carolina. But he looked bad, I thought, at home in Foxborough on Sunday. And I thought he stood in the pocket way too long and took too many sacks, and he just stood there and never did anything. So I am not a buyer at all in the New England Patriots whatsoever. I don't care who they have. And I also don't care that Bill Belichick's the coach. It's one thing to be the greatest coach that ever lived when you have Tom Brady and that team with its defense intact with Hightower, Chung, and everybody else, Van Noy. And it's another thing when they're all gone and he has no talent and they look like it.
Yeah, the Bills will play the Patriots, Scotty, after the Jet game. So the Bills are going to have an opportunity to play a couple teams, the Patriots and the Seahawks, after they play the Jets this week. More chances to play big teams. Let's go to the Chiefs side of it. They showed up pretty much last night, Scotty. It doesn't have to be Mahomes all the time. Here is Mahomes. We can do it any way we want. We just got to win, baby. Here's Mahomes.
It's something that you're going to have to do in this league. You have to find ways to win. I think that's the biggest thing. You've seen it all this year. You've seen it all these last few years with our football team is we're going to find a way to win the football game. We don't care how that is. We don't care if it's not having a lot of possession. We don't care if it's having a lot of possession. But obviously doing that, it gives our defense the rest that they need to go out there and play good football. And so I thought we did a great job of having the time of possession. The defense did a good job of getting a lot of three and outs or short drives and getting the ball back to us.
You know, look – he didn't have to do anything last night, so let's not get carried away about Patrick Mahomes' performance in Buffalo. All he did was hand off the ball, and they ran it for almost 300 yards. So what more do you need to know? The Chiefs are still the deal. I know you're going to show me Super Bowl odds, Carver High, but I got to tell you, what I saw already of those odds, there's a couple teams on there that I'd be willing to throw money down right now on futures, and that would be the Steelers and the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, the Steelers, Scotty, 12-1 right now at FanDuel to win the Super Bowl. Really good price. And the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Titans, Scotty, both around 17-1. Those are some pretty good prices, too, for teams that are playing some good football. Finally, from this game, Andy Reid. We've heard it. Balanced offense. Most rushes ever in a Reid-coached game. Here he is, Scotty.
Well, listen, we felt like, you know, and this is me talking now, so I didn't think – I gave the guys enough of a chance last week with it, and especially the second half. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're best when we have some kind of a balance going, when you can kind of go back and forth. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the defense. And so we were able to do both, and we felt like we needed both in this game.
You know, I said I was on the Chiefs yesterday to win that game and lay the 3.5, whatever it turned into. I think it turned into 5, 5.5. But that hit. I also had Arizona to win outright in Dallas. I know we want to talk about that game a little bit, Carver High. I just thought Kyler Murray was unbelievable, not only throwing bombs to Christian Kirk, but I thought running the ball, he just destroyed Dallas. They were spinning around in circles. They didn't know where he was.
Yes, the Cardinals embarrassed the Cowboys last night in the second game, Scotty. Let's hear one of the early big blows. Kyler Murray, 80-yard touchdown to Christian Kirk on ESPN.
What a play.
Here's first and 10. Kyler Murray, a deep shot, got a man, and it's caught. Christian Kirk, how about 80 yards to the house just like that? Speaking of bullet, Bob Hayes, touchdown, Cardinals.
Nice call by Steve Levy there. Finally, some excitement in the Monday Night Football booth. I thought he did a good job with that call. Look, this guy, how about the play Hopkins? Nuke came up with that huge play, 60-yarder. Kenyon Drake, a 69-yard run, literally untouched. It was like, it was unbelievable, the hole he went through. I mean, George Kurtz said it, like it's like they have no talent on the football field. Meanwhile, do you remember there was a time when we were talking, including myself, that on paper they had some of the best names in the NFL on that team, the Dallas Cowboys, that they were talent-wise the best team in the East? And I know they're in first place in that lousy division. I don't trust that as far as you could spit. In fact, the Eagles are so banged up, they're playing the Giants on Thursday night. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Giants beat them.
When we come back, Scotty, we will hear from Zeke Elliott blaming himself for the loss, Mike McCarthy unhappy, and believe it or not, Scotty, the Cowboy players are already throwing the coaching staff under the bus. So I'm going to have all of that for you when we come back.
There's guys saying they don't know what they're doing, that the game has passed them by, and they don't know how to coach. I mean, that's crazy. I want to see some more of that. I don't think you'll hear any more interviews.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. All right, Pharrell, back on Coast to Coast. At least Zeke admitted that it was his fault. I like guys that just come right out with it. Josh Allen did it. Blame me. Zeke fumbles twice. I mean, this team is just turning the rock over, and it's leading the touchdowns, and you cannot win in the NFL when every time you turn the ball over, the other team converts.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, Scotty. Let's listen to Zeke. Two fumbles last night. He put it all on his shoulders.
Honestly, I don't think it really was much of what they did. I think it was me. I'm supposed to be a guy this team can rely on. I'm supposed to be a guy that this team can lean on when times get rough. And I just wasn't that today. I got us started off to a terrible start. Defense were playing. They were playing well. But I killed our momentum. Two fumbles. I can't do that. I can't.
Well, I love that. That's what I call classy and leadership move right there. It's all on him, and there's no doubt. I thought those two fumbles, that was it for me. The game was over, I thought, when it was 14-3 or whatever it was. So it got worse from there, believe me. So, I think Kyler Murray just flat out, no one wants to talk about it. They all want to talk about Andy Dalton. And the bottom line is, going into that game, it was Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, all this other nonsense. Bottom line is this. He can't even hold Kyler Murray's jock, okay? Kyler Murray's a little badass. That's all there is to it.
No, you're 100% right, Scotty. And there's a couple of quarterbacks that might be available. And if I'm the Cowboys, with the way Dalton played last night, I would start thinking about getting some of them. We'll get to that in a little while. Let's go to Mike McCarthy now. He said, Scotty, it was the best week of preparation that the Cowboys had all season. I guess that didn't help much. And here he is saying that he is sick and tired of seeing all the turnovers. McCarthy.
I think it was about 24 points off of turnovers tonight. We're the worst in the league taking care of the football. We're not taking it away, and we're giving up more points than anybody in the league off of turnovers. It's frustrating to see the pattern here, you know, five of the six games this year. So we got to continue to work at it. You know, as I continue to learn this team, I felt like the preparation coming into the game was probably our best so far this year. But obviously that doesn't account for anything. Particularly after a poor performance like tonight.
Look, here's the deal. They're not going to win the division when they allow 36 points a game. They allowed 38 last night. Their defense is terrible. Their quarterback's average at best. He was a mess all night. And you got your best player fumbling twice. They talk about all these great receivers they have. Well, that's fantastic. Too bad nobody can get them the ball. So I actually think Philadelphia, even though with all their injuries, they still have Wentz. And if they get healthy, let's say they get Deshaun back. Let's say they get Alshon Jeffrey back. Let's say they get everybody, Lane Johnson, all these guys with their injury problems. Ertz even banged up. They have to get their team back on the field. If they get healthy, I think they'll win the division. And I'm going to put, believe it or not, I know this is insane, but the way that the Cowboys look to me, they look so bad that I actually, and I've said this before, people laugh at me, I think Judge is doing a good job with the Giants. I thought the last 2 weeks they looked like a different football team entirely. If they ever could learn how to play defense, and if Jones could quit throwing stupid passes, they have the goods to actually score points and be productive. If their defense could stop anybody, I think the Eagles and Giants game is going to be good Thursday night. And I actually like the Giants chances better the rest of the season than I do the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys season's almost over.
The Giants season can definitely take a big turn, Scotty, if they could beat the Eagles on Thursday night down in Philadelphia. Before we leave this game, I must give you the aftermath today. We always love the anonymous players, Scotty. Here is a tweet from NFL Network's Jane Slater. Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now, as they sit at 2-4, the discontent is leaking out. Coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another said they just aren't good at their jobs. Unraveling in Big D, Scotty.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see a whole lot of interviews allowed anymore with players commenting on the coaching staff. That always gets back to the front office and to the coaching staff, and they'll put the duct tape on the mouths after this one.
Big news today in the league. The Dolphins are on a bye this week, Scotty, but, and they've won two in a row, two good wins for them. They are going to start Tua Tagovailoa next week when they play the Rams. We were wondering when it would happen, Scotty. I didn't think it would happen off of a couple of wins.
I have to be honest with you. Like, they drafted him. We want to see him play. There's no denying that fans are clamoring for Tua, and they're going to get their wish. The fans win, and I think Flores was doing a great job with the way they were handling it up until this point. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick deserves better. I think Fitzmagic's been incredible. They're a half game out of first, and you're going to do it now when you're a half game out of first? I would have done it, and I know they have a bye, and they're saying that it'll give them 2 weeks to prepare for the Rams. And I don't know if that game's in Los Angeles or if it's in Miami. If it's in L.A., Miami. I think he'll get eaten alive in that game. And I'll tell you Miami. What, I think Donald will kill him. But I think, look, I would have kept Fitzmagic in there until they were two games out and the playoffs were out of the question and their season was over. And you'd still get to see him play in, let's say, six or seven games to finish the season when they're out of it. But they're giving him the reins to the castle and the keys to the kingdom with a half game out of the playoff spot and first in the division. And I don't think he came in and threw two little short passes and whatever. I'm not sold that it was the right time. I would have let Fitzmagic go until they were out of the playoffs and they weren't a factor. Right now they're a factor, and you're handing him the football now, and the kid's never played. He played for 2 minutes. I'm sorry. I don't like it right now. I would have preferred it later when they were out of the picture.
Trade rumors around the league. The deadline, Scotty, just 2 weeks away. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Would the Falcons part with these guys with how bad a season they are having and start the rebuilding process? That would be one way to start it, to get a load for those two guys, Scotty.
Well, I don't know anyone that would take on that Matt Ryan contract except maybe Jerry Jones. I don't know. But, you know, they could sure use him in Dallas. But the thing is that we already know next year Dak will be back at $38 million on a tag, so they're not going to go get Matt Ryan. But I would rather have Matt Ryan than Andy Darnold. I'm sorry, without a doubt. I still think Matt Ryan can play. I think he's still got smarts and an arm and everything else. I don't think he's washed at all. I just think he's on a terrible football team. And obviously they play better when Julio Jones is healthy. And if that guy's healthy, I literally throw the ball to Jones and Ridley on every down. They have no running game. They have nothing. Their defense is terrible. But they can score points and light it up with Jones and Ridley. And Ryan can get him the ball. So I don't think anyone would pick up Matt Ryan's contract. And Julio Jones, like, they'd be crazy to trade Julio Jones, in my opinion. He's a great player, although I know his injury history is a concern to him. But I think the Falcons are a mess still. Just because they won a game, let's calm down here.
Eagles are a bit of a mess as well. They play the Giants on Thursday night. Maybe a bigger role offensively for Jalen Hurts. Have you seen them slipping him in here and there, Scotty, the last couple of weeks, getting him on the field a little bit more?
Listen, I think he's a really good player. I know I've had conversations with people that don't like Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, and I'm like, are you tripping? Like, did he not win huge games at Alabama and save their season in the SEC championship game against Georgia? If you remember, I was in Los Angeles for the, I think, Fury-Wilder fight that night, and we saw what he did for them. And then how about the year he had in Norman at Oklahoma? I thought he was fantastic. And I actually think the guy's going to have a future as a quarterback in the NFL. And I actually, I'll just say it. I think he's more exciting than Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz has hit a wall. You can say whatever you want about him, but the bottom line is he is not producing and he's not winning and he does not look good at all. And I'm telling you, this guy Hurts. For me, he's just a way better athlete than Wentz. Wentz is just, to me, he looks like a guy that played at Wyoming or, you know, North Dakota State. You know, he looks like a guy that just, I'm talking about your boy Allen played in the cold weather out there, but this guy played in North Dakota State, and to me, he looks like it. to be honest with you. And some people might say that about Josh Allen with some of the bad plays he's had in the playoffs and some of his blunder picks and stupid plays and games where he just completely goes from being great and 350 yards to a 120-yard game. It's too erratic. He's good one week and not good the next. I think Jalen Hurts was always a winner.
Everybody thought the NFL was going to throw the book at the Tennessee Titans. Sounds like that's not going to happen. They're just going to get a bunch of fines for their COVID situation a couple of weeks ago if they broke the rules or not. NFL hot seat ranking, Scotty. Obviously, Adam Gase and Greg Williams, the Jets, are at the top. Mike Zimmer, Dave Gettleman, Giants GM, Matt Patricia, and Bob Quinn, the coach and GM pair in Detroit. Reports do say, though, Scotty, that Zimmer is not going to go anywhere in Minnesota.
They just gave him a new deal. So, I mean, I don't think that's happening. I think the ones in the biggest predicament are Gase and Williams. And I don't even think they like each other. I think, you know, it was proven to pudding when you saw Williams talking bad about Gase. That's all you need to know, that they don't like each other. You got one guy that's a young guy that's gotten everything handed to him on a silver platter. And then the old defensive coordinator that's been around the league five times. I don't think he likes the young guy.
Ravens running back Mark Ingram, injury diagnosed as a sprain. He had an ankle injury. Raheem Mostert, 49ers, most likely going to go on the IR. Also ankle injury. Doug Marrone said that he would consider possibly changing quarterbacks. If Gardner Minshew, man, Minshew mania, second year in a row, Scotty, tailing off fast after the big start. And as Drew Lock, after the win Sunday against the Patriots, ready to out-duel Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, Scotty.
No, but, you know, can they cover the 9.5 is the question. And I think that they might very well do that. Remember, they have won games they weren't supposed to win, like in Foxborough, and they covered in all the other games. The game in Pittsburgh, they covered the big number. I think it was 6.5. They covered that number. So 9.5 at home against Kansas City. Look, stop the run, and you blitz that guy, you know, he's going to kill you, Mahomes. But if you don't blitz him and you stay back and you can stop the run, I think you can be in a game with him. I mean, the Chargers were in the game with him. They should have beat him. The Bills couldn't stop the run. You have to do one or the other. You have to get it done. You cannot blitz him. He'll kill you. And then you leave everyone back, guard all their receivers, and stop the run, and you can beat them. I think Pittsburgh can beat them.
The Chicago Bears sign my guy, the pride of South Bend, linebacker Manti Te'o, to the practice squad. Panthers shut down their facility after an unconfirmed positive test. They're supposed to play the Saints this week. We'll see how that goes for them. The Bucs now, Scotty, the league's number one defense after the beating they put on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on Sunday. Two guys looking for a trade, maybe. David Njoku of the Browns, John Ross of the Bengals. Possibly both of those guys might be moving before the deadline in a couple of weeks, Scotty.
Yeah, look, Njoku obviously unhappy. Are they really going to move the Super Bowl, you think, because of all the COVID tests to March Madness type scene?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, my guy Ty Stick just said he was going to dunk in my face when we play basketball in the hood. He wants to come visit us from Kansas City, come out to New York City, and he said he was going to hang on the rim with his onions in my face. I don't know what that means, but the Pacers hired Raptors assistant Nate Bjorkgren as head coach. Carver, can you give me a who?
Who? Who did they hire?
He won a G League title, and he's best friends with Nick Nurse, and he was on his staff, and he won a championship with Kawhi.
Come on. There Get you serious. Go.
The Heat are eyeing Jeremy Grant. The bubble cost the NBA $180 million, but the league saved up to $1.5 billion in losses that would have seemed to prove that that's a solid investment. All right, here we go. Banana split reveals half a ton of cocaine smuggled in from Brazil. They smuggled in a half ton of cocaine, pure 100% cocaine, in banana paste, which is awesome. Jeff Bridges diagnosed with lymphoma. Drag. Now my favorite story. This one's for all the boys at LTN. a depraved man has had sex with pet chickens while his wife filmed him. Now, to top the story off, the guy was, you know, basically having relations with animals, but he topped the cake by actually filming himself having relations with a dead chicken. That's even better. It's one thing to get some action from some live birds, but it's another thing entirely when you start working the dead carcass. And then how about the wife? How do you convince the wife to film it? Like, honey, come on down to the barn.
Get the camera. Get the camera. Come downstairs. Go get the camera. Come here, I gotta show you something. Go get the camera.
Game Time Decisions is coming up with Morency and Cam Stewart, and they are not having fried chicken for dinner. And I'll see you tonight on the Vengeance Sports Grid Radio Overnights. Get on our YouTube page, subscribe free. Free is me, baby. Shake out. Ooh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.